The KNBR Morning Show now continues with Murph, Mac, and Marcus. It's our Dubs Insider from The Athletic, Marcus Thompson.
Sponsored by Truett and White. Trusted by the pros for over 75 years. Let them be a one-stop shop for all your building material needs. Visit truettandwhite.com.
On KNBR 104.5 at 680, The Sports Leader.
All right, it says our Dubs Insider, but first and foremost, he was in Philadelphia Sunday, man. And wrote the agonizing column about Pauly, the Fellowship of Heartbreak.
No, I know. The description of Hufanga rocking back and forth and muttering to
Pauly,
himself.
This sounds like one of those Oscar-nominated movies.
Yeah.
The Fellowship of Heartbreak, the Triangle of Sadness.
We could probably still get it out there for award season.
By the way, we rented Saturday night. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Okay, okay.
Marcus Thompson of The Athletic. Before we get to the Dubs, Marcus, man.
Yeah.
A Fellowship of Heartbreak, dude. That's true, huh? I mean, that's what you saw. You saw a team that just keeps getting knocked down. Good morning, dude.
Hey, buddy.
I think the key is, the important part of this, is that they're good enough to win it all.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So it's not like,
I know.
It's not like they're just losing it, the season is. Like, this is the third time, and really fourth if you count, like, the injury year, that they've been good enough to win the Super Bowl, but something happens. And I remember last year talking to Hufanga afterwards, because he barely played. And it's just different when, like, you're not out there, right? Like, I think he played, like, 19 snaps in special teams. But, you know, Jaquaski Tart and Jimmy Ward were the safety. So it was just like, yeah, it was a, you know, down environment. But he was different. I just remember talking to him. He's like, yeah, see, his career's starting, right? Like, he's like, we're going to win. We're going to be back. But this year, like, he felt it. Like, it was like, oh, okay. And that's when you start realizing, like, man, this stuff is getting passed down from era to era.
Yeah.
Like, Nick Bosa. He's been in all three of them, right?
Man.
He's been in all. If it wasn't the third of 15 random play by Patrick Mahomes or Tart dropping the interception, and this year's like Brock Purdy getting hurt sick, like, it's not even that they're. I mean, I guess Kansas City beat them. But it just feels like something happens weird and they don't win the Super Bowl, right? Even though they're good enough. It's just wild.
I mean, we get to these places in sports. You know, the Buffalo Bills are obviously the famous example, four straight Super Bowls. I mean, I'm trying to think if there's an NBA team that kept knocking and couldn't get there. I don't know, but who would it be?
Like Dallas, probably.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? You know what, Marcus? Jerry Sloan's Utah Jazz, Malone and Stockton.
Malone and Stockton.
You know what I mean? So this is a thing that can happen, and it's like you just gotta keep getting back up off the mat. Now it's complicated by this quarterback situation and this news that he has a complete tear of his UCL. I mean, so Marcus, we don't know yet if he's out for the entire year, but that's a possibility, and that leads to the columnist's dream, the possibility of Tom Brady. Now, I love it from your perspective, just in terms of drama, storyline, age. Trey Lance, I mean,
how realistic is it down on
Tom Brady coming to the Niners for one last run at age 46?
Yep.
I'm really not a fan of it. Mm. I'm sorry.
You're not a fan. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And not that, like, it would be ideal. Man, you just have to be willing to really invest in that offensive line, right? Like, Tom Brady can't move. What made Brock special was the scrambling, was the being able to get out the pocket. Like, so, yeah, if anybody can pull it off without moving, it's Tom Brady. I just don't know if he has that anymore. And if he shows up and you do that and you bring him in for this one last run and he doesn't look – and it's like, oh, he finally starts looking 46. Like, with Tampa Bay, he was a sitting duck. Like, you just got to have the line for it. And I don't know. I just don't know if the 49ers, like, have that. I don't know if they're that together, you know. So, to me, I need a quarterback who can move some, like, who can get out the pocket. Because, look, what we're talking about isn't tangible. Like when the moment happens, something is going on where they just aren't making the play. And so I could see the case where it's like Brady is that dude. He will make the plays that need to be made.
Yep.
Like, obviously. Can you imagine though, like Tom Brady comes and the one time Tom Brady doesn't look like Tom Brady no more is like when he's with the 49ers. I don't know if I can handle that as much. I guess A-Rod would be my first choice. If anybody,
A-Rod, and but the you got to stroke that check.
That's a big price tag.
I mean, I don't have the particulars on how they could spread it out, but I think somebody has to sign a check for $59 million.
Yep. I mean, if you're gonna do it,
Jed, how's Jed's cursive on that check? Signed, exactly. Jed York, pay to the order of Aaron Rodgers, $59 million and no 100ths. Right? Hey, man, that's why
it'll be a tough pill.
That's a lot of zeros.
That's why he owns 45% of Leeds United, right? The English Premier League team. Maybe there's money absolutely. We don't know about, right? Maybe there's dough we don't know about.
Now, I'm sure you prefer to keep that dough, but you know, if it's going to get you a Super Bowl,
yeah. Oh man, it's well. Listen, so and then the other aspect is Trey Lance. I mean, but the thing is, if they go to Trey, and listen, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but that's what we do in sports talk radio, right? Because there is a chance that Brock Purdy is out for the year with Tommy John. Both Mike Kruko and Marcus Boucher, your fellow Carlos Correa interviewer. He said his complete tear in baseball means you have to get Tommy John. So,
and that's why and that's the reason why, Marcus, I think the Brady thing does make sense, because if Brock Purdy can't go, and it's just like you said when we just put you on the air at the beginning, they're built and ready to win a title right now. And if the only piece missing is a quarterback who can make some of those plays that haven't been made, that I just think Tom Brady, it just makes sense in this scenario.
It does. Like, if you look at how they've gotten hurt, it's, you know, the right side of the line, right? Like,
yeah.
Every time it's the right side of the line. You just got with Tom Brady. You just got to be something. Now Brady makes sense because he's gonna get the ball out quick. They got all these weapons. But if the reason Brock Purdy was good, the reason Jimmy Garoppolo was out and Trey Lance was in, it's because Kyle wants somebody who can move.
Right, no, totally.
Who can make plays, who can open up the offense, and that's just not Tom Brady. But I do have somebody, because I don't think they need the greatest quarterback of all time. I do have a name that is just wild to say, but he fits because he doesn't miss games, he has arm talent, and he can move. Derek Carr.
I know,
Derek
man.
Carr
we
be,
actually
Derek
brought
Carr
this.
Will be,
I know, we brought
Derek
it up.
Derek Carr will make a whole lot of sense.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
We have this imaginary grease board in John Lynch's office. And on the left side is Purdy's okay by July. And then you have a big smiley face there. Everything's good. The right side is Purdy's out for the year. And of all the names on there, the one at the bottom is Derek Carr.
At the bottom? You put Derek Carr at the bottom?
Yeah. I'd put Brady because we're going Trey.
Oh, it must be a three-person list.
We're going Trey, Brady, Rodgers, Garoppolo, Carr. How's that?
You put Garoppolo over Carr?
Yeah, I don't know. Just because of this long-standing relationship we've had, you know?
Wouldn't shock you. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, in the end, you know what's going to happen anyway. Garoppolo's going to be back. This is his team. Garoppolo's like the ghost in the haunted house. Like, he ain't leaving. Like, this is his spot.
Yeah, it's like Amityville Horror, only it's Garoppolo. Yeah.
He ain't leaving. This is his team, man. Right. You can't get rid of Garoppolo mojo. Like, he's the quarterback next year.
Oh, man. All right, Marcus. Well, listen, the Niners will leave to another day. We got to touch on the Warriors. You know, listen, there's good news. They won 3 in a row and 5-2 in the last 7.
There.
But
yeah.
We haven't talked to you since the Bobby Myers story.
Oh,
and I know you've done other stuff, but this is our first chance on the morning audience to hear. I mean.
Yeah, your story's making me nervous.
Man, it's legit. I mean, is there anything since you wrote it Did anybody whisper anything in your ear since you wrote it? Did anybody give you a look? Where are we at?
Yeah, that's what we. Yeah, of course, people gave me looks. You know, the day afterwards. You know, because it was a few of us, and we all were at the Warriors game. Me, Anthony Slater, Sam Amy. So yeah, we got the looks, and you know, there were some smiles. There were some, "What are you doing?" There were some, "You guys are always causing problems. Stay away from you." And some people even gave us a head nod, like, "Good job." We got the full gamut of response. But you know, Bob Myers is that big of a figure, right? He's that central to who the Warriors are that the possibility of him leaving it has a ripple effect that goes in just about every direction of the Warriors franchise. So it was a pretty big deal, and it still is because it's still not resolved.
Okay, you know, there's two ways to look at it. You guys wrote in the story, and then one is money, which, you know, like, back when Debo Samuel scrubbed his Instagram and everything, we're like, oh, man, he doesn't like Kyle, or he doesn't like the Bay Area, or he doesn't like... No, it turned out he's wanted money. You know what I mean? So he's back. So there's one way to look at it, and that's just money. But the other way to look at it was the existential thing, man. The Bill Walsh, like, I can't do this anymore. I've done my work. I've done my... This has been hard and taxing, and there's hard decisions ahead. When you guys were researching it and writing it, which one seemed more likely, the money or the existential?
I think, I believe, my personal take on it, and it really wasn't an opinion piece, but I think it's the existential. I think Bob Myers is trying to figure out what he wants to do, if he wants to keep doing this, if he wants to be part of the rebuild, which, you know, unless they win in title, feels inevitable, right, that at some point Joe's going to say, we got to start this thing over. He's already saying he's not paying the $450, which means somebody literally has to go. Like, a player has to be off the roster next year. And I think Bob Myers is thinking maybe he doesn't want to do that. Now, I think the money comes in because it's the easy way to sway him one way or the other, right? Say, hey, we're going to make you the highest paid general manager in basketball, right? Sure. Like, we're gonna give you the number you can't walk away from. Mm-hmm. Like, but without that, and especially knowing in his mind, if he believes that he's, you know, more top 10 than top 3, then it's not enough to keep him from having these thoughts and these questions. I could definitely see the universe, though, where they do offer him a great contract, and he's like, you know what, nah. I think I've done my part. I'm going to ride out in the sunset with Draymond, Steph, Clay, and we did our thing for 10 years, and we out. We actually have evidence of Bob Myers doing that. He left his agency and became a front office exec and walked away from it all. So we know he has the capacity to do it. So I think it's more that stuff, and the money is not making him not go down that road.
I got you.
What do you get with – I mean – from Lacob's perspective, do you think that he's just a businessman who's waiting to negotiate with Myers? Because, I mean, he's shown that he'll write any check anytime. We talked about Jed York stroking that check. Bob, I mean, Joe Lacob will stroke any check anytime, anywhere. So where do you see Lacob's role in all this?
Man, first off, I just think Lacob is a billionaire by not paying top dollar at every, like, just, you know, without needing to, right? Like, and this is Bob Myers' tactic, right? Like, so it's not foreign. Bob Myers, like, go ask Kevon Looney if Bob Myers is a tough negotiator, right? every time Kevon Looney is up for a deal, Bob is like, hey, man, go get more money. And then when you come back after not being able to get it, then you'll take my deal, right? So, of course, Joe is doing what you do. Like, you try to get the best talent you can for the lowest price you can. So I think he's doing that. Everybody we talk to thinks at some point Joe's going to be like, all right, and then sign, write the check he needs to write. Because that's just how Joe rolls, right?
Right.
Like, he's going to pay. So the question is, at that point, does Bob want to stay? Is it enough money to make him stay? Or does Joe say, look, man, we gave it our best effort, and at some point we know he's going to leave anyway. We might as well just start, like, prepared for the future without him. So that's the difficult part. But I do think Joe, it's negotiation. And Bob is Bob because he's one of the best ones in the league at negotiating.
Do they have a good relationship in general? Like, is it productive, or is it strife-laden and tense?
No, I think they have a good relationship. It is also intense, right? Like, I think
that's
kind of part of it. Joe, I mean, we all know who Joe is, right? Joe is a demanding leader, right? Like, his expectations are incredibly high. He has almost no chill, right? Like there's no,
no chill.
Part of him that, like, he has no chill. He's like, yeah, I want to win right now. Like, and this right round's got to be what's the best possible. Like, that's Joe. Like, Joe about that life.
Yeah, he is.
So, I mean, if anybody has ever had a boss, you know, you could love your boss and still be, like, have those intensities. Or I think they're good. I haven't heard anything that they're not. The question, though, is different to be like, here's what I think. I think Bob Myers took this job as an agent trying to find his foot into a new profession. And it was like, yeah, Joe picked him, right? Joe's like, you my guy. And he was Joe's guy, right? And now Bob Myers is Bob Myers, right? Like,
yeah.
Three-time executive of the year, four-time champ. He could do whatever he wants. He knows the president. He knows CEOs. He knows billionaires. And maybe he don't want to be, like, just Joe's guy anymore.
Wow.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? Like, he's risen so high in his profession that it might be like, hey, you know what? All right, like, this is great, but what else is there? Like, I could be this for somebody else, or I could do something else. So I don't think that's necessarily animosity, but, like, I love Tim Kawakami, but if you catch me in 20 years, like...
I love the analogy.
Like, all right, I might want to go work for Obama, right? Like, I don't know. Like,
Paulie's been looking
at me. It's nothing against Kawakami.
Paulie's been looking at me lately going, it was fun for a while, dude, but, you know.
Yeah. How much longer is this going to go on? Yeah. Because I got to stretch my ass out. Yeah.
I'm going to offer Paulie the bag to stay, though.
Right.
All right, man. Hey, really good topics. Niners and Bob Myers.
Really good, man.
Once the Warriors get to a top four seed, we'll talk Warriors, all right,
which is
buddy?
Pretty close.
They're five right now.
We've been going nuts on this all morning. I said, hey, Marcus, my whole slogan is 2022-23, the year the Warriors took the first 50 games off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, it's like every year has a memory. The Durant year, the 73-win year, the year they took 50 games off. That's going to be this one. So we'll see what happens from here, man. Good stuff. We'll keep reading you, brother.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks, Marcus
Thompson.
All right,
okay,
man.
Farhan Zaidi next on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports Leader.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.